go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got him on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
One hit, no punt. Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome into Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you. We will break down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants for the next 60 minutes. We'll get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. You can also chime in via Twitter using hashtag GiantsChat. There will be another OTA that takes place today, so we'll get you caught up on all the latest news out of that. And our question for today's show is, which running back do you think is going to make the biggest impact on this team entering the 2015 campaign? You have a few choices: Rashad Jennings, Andre Williams, as well as the addition of Shane Vereen via free agency, or perhaps it's Orleans Darkwa or somebody else who you think will be perhaps a wild card that will do something to re-energize this offense. So we'll get your feedback with respect to that. We'll also get into some news related to OTAs. Anita, how's everything?
Everything's great. I mean, what an unbelievable weekend. We have
a triple
crown winner in American Pharoah. Serena is just unbelievable. Some would argue maybe the best athlete of our era, our generation. And LeBron just never ceases to amaze and ties up the NBA championship series last night. So what a phenomenal weekend it was. And then here we are back here at the Giants facility, OTA number 7. Guys are practicing right now while we're broadcasting. As soon as we're done at 1 o'clock, then media availability, the locker room opens up. We're able to go inside the locker room and talk to a lot of the guys. I think what's really exciting is that, you know, it's just an opportunity. I guess the feeling is we're getting closer and closer and closer to training camp. You know what I mean? Like, that's the feeling right now. So it's an exciting time.
Well, I have the 3-day mandatory mini camp next week, and then they're going to break until training camp. So you're right. We are nearing the end of the stretch where they're going to be working together in sections, and then we're going to get, obviously, into the meat and potatoes of the offseason, which is training camp, as they prepare for the upcoming season. Let's quickly talk about the running back question, and then we'll open it up to everybody on the lines and via Twitter in terms of, you know, which running back is in a position to make the biggest impact on this team. You look at last season, Andre Williams took advantage of his opportunities, mainly due to the injury via Rashad Jennings. Now you bring in Shane Vereen. So, you know, you have a nice mixture in this group, Anita. You have players that bring certain strengths to the table. It's a versatile group. It's not as if every running back does the same thing. Now, Andre Williams could be that goal line guy. He could be a guy that you could very well give 15 carries a contest. Rashad Jennings is that receiver, also somebody that can handle 15 carries a game. And Vereen, if you look at his numbers with the Patriots, last season, he had 96 carries. He also had 77 targets in terms of his involvement in the receiving game. So it'll be very interesting to see how they mix and match with these players. You know, right now, I look at Rashad Jennings. If he could stay healthy, Anita, you know, he could very well be that workhorse that they envisioned when they brought him in last season. Somebody that can be the number one back. In addition, you can use him on third downs, and you can rely on him in pass protection because he's at least had some experience in all those departments.
Absolutely. Last week, Paul and I actually touched on this, but our show question was who was going to lead in all-purpose yards. And believe it or not, Andre Williams got a lot of love from Giants fans last week. So, and he had made a comment to Paul and I guess he had heard about the show, and so he was quite pleased. He's excited about the season. If you were to say all-purpose yards, then I am feeling Shane Vereen, because I think he's going to be utilized more so than anyone else in the passing attack, and I do believe the Giants are going to be a very pass-happy team. But in regard to impact, you know, Rashad Jennings is really excited about this season. If you recall, of course, he comes over from Oakland, really given the starting job an opportunity to really kind of make this team his own, because in Oakland, he was right behind Darren McFadden. And unfortunately, he had some injuries last year. And then now the team brings in Shane Vereen. So I do believe that there is somewhat of a competition that is brewing here. But competition is good. Competition is exciting. And to me, it sounds like Rashad Jennings is welcoming it and is open to it and is excited about it. So I think Rashad Jennings is really going to take his game to a whole nother level this year.
Well, there was potential last season. Unfortunately, as you alluded to, he got a little banged up and was in and out of the lineup. And now Vereen is going to provide some additional competition in the department of receiving the ball and perhaps providing that outlet for Eli Manning. I think big picture perspective, you could make the point. And last year, Andre Williams, his receptions went up compared to what he did in college. Rashad Jennings obviously was involved. But I think as a whole, you have potential for the running backs to be even more involved in the receiving game Anita this season because of the versatility and the fact that they can bring these guys in on a variety of different downs. You know, I don't think Shane Vereen has to only be a third down back. I don't think Rashad Jennings only has to be a first and second down back. And the same thing with Andre Williams. They're going to put all of these running backs in positions where you could mix and match depending on the opponent, depending on the game plan. And that's good because you're going to keep the defense on its toes. You're going to keep the defense off guard so that you don't become predictable. Because if you all of a sudden look at all of these running backs, Anita, and you say, we can only use this player on first down, we can only use this player on third down, I think you enter the department of predictability for the opponent. And now that you have Shane Vereen, who's going to add a new facet to this offense, you could be a little bit more creative in terms of the play calling.
I'm with you, absolutely. And you look at, I know we've kind of taken a look at the schedule, and it's difficult to sit here now and to anticipate, okay, who's going to have the best defense? Who's going to have the best defensive line? At the end of the day, we really don't know. But I think it's safe to assume that the Buffalo Bills and the Jets are going to have two of the best defenses that the Giants are going to face this coming season. And when you've got guys that are on those two defensive lines, and then, of course, Rex Ryan, who loves to put together these exotic blitz packages, those are the two games that I really that a versatile running attack is going to come in and be such a big factor in keeping those defenses honest and maybe a little bit more hesitant in regard to really trying to come after Eli Manning. I think that all three backs are really important, especially going up against defenses that just like to attack. Because, you know, you never want to get burned.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be a nice safety valve for Eli Manning, as you just touched on. If you look at some of these early opponents who are very good at getting to the quarterback, and an extra layer of defense also for the offensive line. You know, Vereen has been used in pass protection schemes. Rashad Jennings has been utilized there, as has Andre Williams. I mean, that's an important facet when you talk about the running game. The other thing to note, and we touched on this a bit on Friday, Anita, I would not be surprised if you see some plays where two running backs are on the field at the same time, because as you talked about on Friday, remember Shane Vereen was involved in that scheme where Baltimore complained about how New England was running illegal formations and so forth. Vereen is comfortable playing out of the slot. Vereen, I'm assuming, could be very well lined up as a third wide receiver this season, which means you could have Rashad Jennings and Vereen on the field at the same time. You could have Vereen and Andre Williams. You could take any combination, throw it in a hat, and come out with some type of mix, and you're probably going to see that out on the field, because Vereen, I don't look at him as just a running back. I also look at him as that fourth or fifth complementary wide receiver as well.
What are your thoughts in regard to how, okay, because we know all three are going to make the roster. There's no denying that. And then, of course, you have Henry Hanoski. You know, some running backs like that just to be the one back in the backfield. Some running backs like to play out of an eye or a power formation. And then, of course, and then comes in the talk in regard to the tight end position and the battle and the competition. And, you know, is Fells, Robinson, or one of them going to be the odd man out? How many tight ends are they going to keep? So, I do think it's kind of interesting in regard to how the tight end, the fullback position, and the running back position kind of all coincide. Do you think that there's a chance that maybe Henry Hanoski does not make this team?
Well, I think the fact that they want to get back to that power running type of formation, Anita, I'd be surprised if Hynoski did not make this team. And that's why that element of this offense, which has been a big facet of this team, you've relied on the fullback. You're right. If you see a little bit more versatility out of the tight end group, Anita, perhaps they try to move one of the tight ends to the fullback position. But Hynoski's been a consistent staple on this team. He has been banged up here or there, but he has been somebody that is reliable. And he understands and has digested this offense. And I think familiarity is an important key component, especially when you want to try to bring that running game to a whole new level. So I'd be surprised. I think 3 to 4 running backs plus the fullback you could pretty much pencil in. And then depending on how many tight ends they want to keep.
I guess what I'm saying is I don't believe that they're going to be able to keep all the running backs and the fullback.
Well, somebody's going to be sacrificed.
And four tight ends. Right, right. And listen, I'm with you. I love the Rhino. I love Henry Hanoski. I think he's fantastic. So I wouldn't want to see him go anywhere. But you know, it will be interesting because, again, how those three positions coincide with one another. And I think it's going to be a difficult decision for the staff to make when it gets to that point.
Well, that's a good decision, a good problem to have, as
absolutely.
I like to say, because that means that you brought in plenty of competition. Guys are bringing the best out of one another, and you're going to try to get the 53 best players on that final roster. All right, let's head to the phone lines. I know a lot of people are weighing in on Twitter. Good stuff on the running backs. We'll get to that as well. But let's open up the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. Dom is in New Jersey. Dom, welcome aboard. What do you have for us?
Hey, man. How was your weekend, guys?
Doing well.
Great.
How about yours?
Good. It was good. I actually just got back from a camping trip, so I'm doing well now. It's actually back to real life, you know.
Very nice. So anyway, what do you have for us?
Anyway, so you guys briefly talked about last week. I know Jake Long was visiting the facilities and all that, but I just wanted to know if there was any updates on that over the weekend at all.
I haven't heard anything. I don't know if you've heard anything.
I have not heard anything.
You know, keep in mind, I mean, this is a player who's coming off of a knee surgery. You know, I really do believe that maybe he just needs some more time in regard to heal. And then see what happens. Maybe a month, maybe 2 months now down the road, his knee will be a little bit better and a training staff, a medical staff would be able to give a team the thumbs up for him. Hopefully that's what will happen. But I guess what I'm saying is I just don't think his knee is ready for a medical staff to sign off on him right now.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. I figured that would be the case. And my second question is, you know, I think we have a plethora of cornerbacks. And is there any chance that one of them might get pushed back to the safety position? Can Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie take over that slot in the end in the backfield?
Well, Rodgers-Cromartie's had experience throughout his career in multiple positions in the secondary. You know, they've talked about moving other players such as Shockey Brown. Bennett Jackson has already made the move to safety. I don't know if they're going to take one of their main staples at corners such as DRC or Prince and say, hey, guys, you know, let's throw you into the mix at safety. Those two are pretty much locked in to the starting corner spots. If you're going to see anybody else move, Dom, I think at the end of the day it's probably going to be somebody on the back end who already has had experience during OTAs, like a Bennett Jackson, like a Shockey Brown. Outside of that, I'd be very surprised if they move another corner.
Understood. And my last question is kind of random. Charlie from Maine, he always comes up with these predictions. Did he even come up with one yet for this year, did he?
Let me see here. We got the wall of predictions. Yes, he did. His prediction this season is 8-8, to answer your question.
8-8.
Yes.
I'm going to wait about a month. I want to wait until at least I want to see training camp for a little bit, and then I'll call back my prediction. But as a matter of fact, about a year ago, Charlie had mentioned something about Onica, you know, that muscle rub cream.
Correct.
And I had a soccer game last weekend, and I used it, and you know what? That stuff works, man. It works pretty well. So if you can get the word out, Onica, it works. Definitely.
Well, any time we could provide some backing to some of Charlie's nutsy theories, I mean, that certainly helps the cause of this program. So, Dom, I greatly appreciate the fact that you have let the public know that you've experimented with Charlie's recommendations.
Yeah, man, it works. So that guy kind of knows what he's talking about, some things. But, yeah, he's a nutty guy. Funny guy, though, for sure.
All right, Dom, absolutely. One of our many characters on Big Blue Kickoff.
So that's your wall of predictions?
That is the wall of predictions, indeed.
And this is heading into the season?
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
So what do we have there so far?
Well, Charlie in Portland, Maine, 8-8. Let's see, we've got...
Okay, does he realize 8-8 does nothing? 8-8 does... 8-8, you're done. Regular season.
Well, I think he very well knows what he meant by that prediction. Knowing Charlie and his history, he knew exactly what he was saying when he mentioned that. The other predictions are
really?
Pretty much
8-8?
The stats.
I really do believe this Giants team, it could be on the border of a 10 or 11 game. And as competitive as I think this NFC East division is going to be, they're definitely going to need 10. I think 11 gets them in. So I'm thinking 10, and you know, maybe being uber optimistic, 11 this year. If everybody's able to stay healthy, and I know that's a big if, because we're talking about football, not, you know,
Well, you look at the last few division winners. Dominoes. Cowboys won 12, Eagles won 10. Let's go back to 2012. You had a 10-game winning season for the Washington Redskins. You go back to 11, you had a 9-win team for the Giants. So three of the last four.
What was you had Giants at 9-7, but you had both Philadelphia and Dallas at 8-8.
At 8-8, that was a down year overall for the division. So more often than not,
I don't think Dallas goes 8-8. I think whoever is going to try to make it into the postseason either needs to beat Dallas with 10 or 11 games, or beat whoever else in the NFC they're going to be competing with to get in as a wild card with 10 or 11 games.
Well, based on the trend in this division, I think it's fair to say you have to start with 10. The minimum is the number that you're going to need if you really want to wrap up this division. And then depending on how competitive the division is, we've seen some down years. We've seen some years where you had a 12-win team and a 10-win team. So if it's neck and neck, you may have to push that number up to 11. I think the goal for the Giants, throwing numbers and predictions aside, Anita, is just consistency and health. I mean, those are the two factors. If you want to evaluate this team right now, heading into training camp, the core needs to stay healthy, given the injuries that they've had to deal with over the last few seasons, and consistency, because there have been stretches over the last few seasons where it hasn't been you win one, you lose one. There's been a skid, and you need to avoid those skids. It's not just for the Giants. It's any team in the NFL. Every game is so important. It's the old cliche, but it's 100% true. The margin for error is minute. You can't afford to have that 3-4-game stretch where all of a sudden you go in the downward spiral. So those are the two main factors, big picture perspective, as you head into training camp. Maintain health. Make sure that you get the most out of this depth chart as you can in terms of experience on the field right now. And once you get into the season, consistency. You could lose some here, you can win some there, but you don't want to hit that stretch where all of a sudden you're losing ground on the rest of the division. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's head back to the phone lines. Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Good to have you aboard here. Ivan is in Delaware. Ivan, what's happening?
How's it going, guys?
Doing well, Ivan. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. So, yeah, I thought it was an interesting question with the running back and as far as the impact. You know, I feel Vereen is going to have the biggest impact. He may not finish with the most total yards from scrimmage in a rushing capacity, but, you know, he brings a lot to the table. I think he's going to, you know, not only have an impact on the field, but, you know, with a guy like Williams, young guy, you know, just helping him out come along. But as far as, you know, him receiving out the backfield, he can pick up the blockers, so you can have him out there on third down. I also think they're going to involve him in the rush game. But I just think the impact of a receiver like this, which we haven't had in years, and I know some say Jennings can do the same things, but I feel what Vereen does, you know, he does it a little bit different. You know, and you can split him out wide as well. So, to me, Vereen is going to have that bigger impact than any of the other running backs on the roster, you know, this season. And I also wanted to just mention for all the Giants fans that, you know, cry and scream every time, you know, a free agent with a questionable background is signed, why the Giants didn't do it. You know, we had another example today, and all the facts aren't out yet, but as you see, the Patriots already released Spike. So there's a reason that, you know, teams like the Giants err on the side of caution with players, because you just never know which are going to be the guys that, you know, going to end up on the front page of the sports news there. So, you know, something to keep in mind.
I think that's a very good point, Ivan, and appreciate the phone call. The current culture of the NFL, you have to be careful, and you have to really delve into the ins and outs of the players.
What's the storyline? A car was abandoned?
Car was abandoned, correct, on a Massachusetts highway. That was what the gist of the story is. I think they're still working out the details.
That's all we know right now.
There was a car accident that may have been involved. I don't want to speak out of line. I know there's a variety of details that were out there, and I'm sure the Patriots as well as the NFL is still looking into it.
Okay. In regard to he was talking about Shane Vereen, and again, not to repeat myself from last week, but I know you – I was hosting with Paul, not necessarily you, but what I'm excited about is, you know, there's a certain way that Bill Belichick and the Patriots utilize their running backs. And so I'm excited to see how the Giants are going to utilize Shane Vereen. I think Shane Vereen was underutilized with the Patriots. I think that there is still a lot more that Shane Vereen can bring to a program than what we saw in New England. So that's what I'm probably most excited about. I don't even think we've seen vintage Shane Vereen make an impact not only on this team but in the league. So I'm really excited.
Well, the Patriots are known for rotating their running backs, and you can go a game or two where you don't really see many targets or many carries, and Vereen has been put in that situation. On Friday, we were talking about averages, how many targets he saw, how many receptions, carries, and I believe, I don't have the numbers in front of me, he averaged about 5 receptions a game, and in terms of carries, you got maybe 7 or 8. Depending on how you broke down each and every contest. To further put things in perspective, you look at the running group last season in terms of what they were able to do, at least in the receiving game, just to see maybe where Vereen fits into that equation. Rashad Jennings wound up with 30 receptions. Andre Williams had 18. I'm not going to necessarily factor in some of the other running backs. Some of them are no longer on the team. But between those two, you had 48. Vereen last season was over 50 receptions, so he surpassed that total. But I think a more telling statistic is also perhaps in the target department. How many times was a player like Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams targeted during the course of the season? You know, that would be something to perhaps go based on what you were talking about. How well would they utilize Shane Vereen within the game plan? And in terms of targets, Rashad Jennings, 30 receptions, he was targeted 41 times.
And how many games did he not play?
He missed 5 games.
And on top of that, I think, you know, it's interesting. The EA Sports came out with all their rankings today, so I'm pretty excited. I'm going to be doing a piece with a number of the players in regard to their rankings, because we know how personal they take that. But how about this? Rashad Jennings carrying the ball, he got a 93 rating. This is on EA Sports. Vereen carrying the ball got an 89 rating, but in catching, Shane Vereen got a better rating than Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams with an 85.
Which is understandable.
Both Jennings and Williams were in the 70 range. So, and I just shared that number with you just to say that, you know, I think because it's evident not only to, I'm sure, Madden, but of course the coaching staff, what Shane Vereen can bring to the program in the passing attack, I think he'll even be targeted even more.
In terms of targets, Andre Williams, 37 targets to get his 18 receptions last season. So between Jennings and Williams, they were targeted over 70 times, and they combined for just under 50 receptions. So we're talking about 70 targets, between both of them. You throw Shane Vereen into the equation. He was targeted 77 times alone with the New England Patriots. I'm expecting, and maybe I'm putting expectations through the roof, but it would not surprise me. All the running backs combined, over 100 receptions, and I would obviously put the targets well over 100, too. I think there's the capability of that if you do the law of averages and you factor in all the numbers and how they were involved within Ben McAdoo's system. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's head back to the phone lines. Kevin is in New Jersey. Kevin, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome.
Appreciate that, Kevin. What do you have for us?
Well, to the answer to your question, I would say Williams is going to be the most impact, I'd say.
Interesting.
Just because I'd say he's going to be the most healthy, and I'd say Vereen would be, I think he's going to be more of the complementary back to everybody else. He's going to switch it all up. But my question was more about Odell Beckham. Is he still out?
In terms of the sore hamstring, I have not been on the practice field yet today. I'm not 100% sure whether or not he is out on the field. We'll try to get confirmation, but the last we know from last week, as a precaution, he was out with the sore hamstring.
Ah, okay. That was more of my question because I hadn't heard. Because to be honest, he'd probably be the most impact as a running back because they're going to stick him in the backfield a bunch of times and he's going to disrupt everything.
Well, and we saw that last season, Kevin, so it wouldn't surprise me if they do try to get him involved. But I think as you add more running backs into the mix, perhaps you then try to get creative with Odell Beckham as a receiver more so than trying to put him in the backfield. I see we have some company in the background, too, that may want to weigh in.
Yeah, that's my other Little Giant fan.
You're grooming him.
Absolutely.
Kevin,
thanks,
listen,
guys,
you
for
got
your
it.
Time.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. And we'll try to provide an update on perhaps who may have been on the sideline, who was taking part. after the practice session. Tom Coughlin and company will address the media. So obviously we'll have more details a little bit later on each and every day. Stay locked to our website as we'll have full team reports and so forth. Let's check out Twitter. I know a lot of people are weighing in on the running back topic in terms of which running back is going to have the biggest impact for this team this coming season. BK at base 718. Vereen might not finish with the most rushing yards, but he will have the greatest overall impact of the running backs, and that could very well happen. You look at Williams and Jennings, wouldn't surprise me if Vereen does not lead the team in rushing yards, but even though he doesn't lead the team in rushing yards, between his involvement as a pass protector as well as a receiver, could very well make a huge impact on this team. Ed Kemmler at Ed Kemmler. Andre Williams will have the biggest impact. Last week, I predicted that he will be a top five running back in the league by 2016. So how about that? Setting expectations pretty high.
Andre Williams is getting a lot of love. A lot of love.
Well, had a lot of experience as a rookie, and if he could continue to build off of that, certainly the ceiling should not be set low. Let's take a look at what everybody else is chiming in on. Mike at Mikey Jodrum. Mix it up, keep them guessing in terms of how to utilize the running backs. Historically, the Giants' offense is predictable. Well, I wouldn't necessarily go that far. I mean, last season, it wasn't too predictable with what Odell Beckham was able to do. But the point is, you mix it up, you keep them guessing, which is what Anita and I talked about at the top of the show. You certainly keep the defense on its toes. Anthony in Phoenix, you brought up Heinoski at ABR127. Rhino can catch the ball out of the backfield. So he looks at that as perhaps another valuable reason why you certainly wouldn't look to get rid of a fullback. You'd want him in the mix because he can also catch the ball out of the backfield. Let's take a look at one or two other tweets here, and then we will head back to the phone lines.
Really quick update in regard to practice. Larry Donnell, as we know, dealing with an Achilles, is riding a bike, and Odell Beckham Jr. is getting stretched out by a trainer on the side as the team warms up. So that's where we're at right now.
So there you go. And if we hear anything else, we will certainly let you know here on Giants.com. One more from Anthony in Phoenix talking about Shane Vereen helps in many ways. He will lower Jennings' carries. He will be elusive out of the backfield, and he'll allow Jennings to stay healthy. Well, anytime you can add another name into the mix and spread the wealth, then you're obviously going to help with the durability of your entire backfield. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. Let's head back to the phone lines as people continue to weigh in on which running back will make the biggest impact on this team. Andrew is in New Jersey. Andrew, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
I think
everyone has it right. Shane Vereen, his presence alone will cause confusion or cause the defense to make adjustments and maybe hesitate. So just his presence on the field will help. And I like what you said about they could actually have two halfbacks like Rashad Jennings and Vereen can spread out. So both of them might be on the field at the same time. So that's definitely exciting. And Anita was right on the money. It's injuries. Because last year, David Wilson went down, Rashad Jennings. And he reminds me, Shane Vereen, of David Wilson, his abilities, his skill set, his body type, and also not as accomplished, but he reminds me of a Marshall Faulk-type running back, like a little smaller, excellent receiver. I know he hasn't had the success yet, but hopefully he will with the Giants. And I have a question about the guys who chase the running backs, the linebackers, other than Beeson in the middle, who do you think the other two starters would be? I was always impressed with Herzlick and Jaquan Williams. I always like both of them. So how are those guys doing? And haven't really heard anything about Jaquan Williams lately.
Well, Jaquan Williams is a free agent.
Right. But in regard to who's here right now and who I anticipate to start, I think we're going to see Beeson and Jamel McClain kind of share the middle linebacking position, maybe throw in a little Devon Kennard. But starting the three, I'm looking at Beeson, Kennard, and JT Thomas with a little addition of Jamal McClain, and then maybe Kennard playing a little middle linebacker, and then Herzlick being the fourth man off the bench. That's how I envision it. Could very well change by training camp.
I would agree. I think those are going to be the three starters when it's all said and done, barring obviously injury, and you can't predict that.
Jaquan Williams is not on the roster
anymore?
No,
he's a free agent. Yeah.
Oh, he was great in the San Francisco championship game, knocking the fumble.
Correct, on special teams.
But hopefully he'll return. You know, he was. You know, he seemed like he had a lot of potential. Did he get injured, or what was the knock on him? The other guys were just better, or was he injured too often?
Well, Jaquan Williams had dealt with some injuries during the course of his tenure here. At the end of the day, like any offseason, Andrew, you want to try to look at what else is out there and see if you can upgrade the team and bring in other players that can add something to the squad. I don't necessarily think it's a knock on Jaquan Williams.
Right.
It's just the fact that based on the financial flexibility that the Giants had, they feel that JT Thomas and Jonathan Casillas, just to use them as examples, are linebackers. They're also assets on special teams. So they're not just bringing in a player that's going to provide one area that could perhaps give a boost to the team. They're going to provide help at a variety of different areas.
Well, it sounds good, like they upgraded at linebacker and running back. So everywhere on offense looks good, and I'm excited about the linebackers. And thanks for taking my call. You're right, the excitement builds. The closer we get, the excitement builds. Thanks,
right.
guys.
You got it, Andrew. Appreciate the call.
It does, and it's really, I mean, it's insane to me that, you know, we're already in June. You know, I mean, the end of July is when the rookies, you know, have to report. And then, you know, come the first week in August, I mean, it's game time. I mean, you know, it's training camp. And then, of course, you know, you start your preseason games. And before you know it, that first Sunday in September, game one, regular season at Dallas, September 13th. That's where it all begins. It's going to be here before we know it. Really. I mean, I truly believe this offseason has flown by, and I do commend the NFL for it, because I think a big reason for that, Lance, is the fact that, you know, the combine has become such a big deal. Free agency prior to the combine, such a big deal. And then, of course, the draft, such a big deal. So much coverage, so much excitement about it. You tend to forget how long the offseason is, because you've got these like kind of milestones in between as we get ready for the next season.
Well, they've done a nice job spreading out the events.
Exactly.
And I think that makes you forget about how long the offseason is, because you have something to look forward to every single month. That's what the NFL has done so effectively. And even something as simple as an OTA, there's news, there's items to talk about based on what developments have taken place at practice. So, you know, that at least has provided some talking points. And this month that is going to happen between training camp and the end of the mandatory minicamp next week, I'm sure is going to fly by, because before you know it, they're going to be back on the field. They're going to be working out. The Giants are also going to have joint practices with the Bengals, which will be another thing to look forward to as they get ready and get prepared for the upcoming season. And, you know, when you look at this roster...
How do you feel about that, by the way?
In terms of them working out with another team?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any harm in that.
Oh, I'm not saying, I don't think there's harm. I just, you know, I think it's great for them, you know, as opposed to just beating up on one another for 4 weeks.
You get tired of that.
Yeah, this gives the players an opportunity to go beat up on somebody who's, you know, an opponent at practice. So I think it's a great idea. I love that the Giants are doing that.
Well, we've seen other teams do it. For example, on Hard Knocks last season, the Falcons were showcased. They went up against the Texans a few times before their game. So it's not necessarily that this is an unusual situation. Giants haven't done it too often, but, you know, as Tom Coughlin mentioned to the media, speaking of that specific topic, Anita, you know, and the media asked him, you know, why this season did you choose to go up against the Cincinnati Bengals, considering you hadn't done it in quite some time? I think the last time was against the Jets, and Coughlin mentioned, we're looking for other ways to get the team prepared and ready for week one. How to get them motivated. How to get them geared up. Because as you mentioned, you can only go up against each other so many times. Sometimes you want to see other faces, other schemes. You get a taste for what it's going to be like when you head out on the field in week one. And also something different than going up against an opponent in a preseason game. So anytime you give players different looks, you know, that's an added element of preparation to get ready for the upcoming season. So that will certainly be something to watch. They're going up against the Cincinnati Bengals on August 14th, which is going to be a Friday evening, and they will go out there earlier in the week. They'll have a few joint practices right before the game, and then they're going to play Jacksonville, the Jets, and at New England. It's an all AFC preseason before they shake things up, and they start off with division rival Dallas on September 13th on the road. Cowboys and Giants have certainly met a few times over the last few seasons in that opener. Last year was a different spin on that in terms of them not necessarily being tied up with a divisional foe. And then after that, you're going to see a mixture of some NFC East opponents. You're going to see some AFC East opponents, some NFC West opponents, but there is an emphasis on the NFC East to start this season this year. Dallas, 2 weeks later, Washington, 3 weeks later, Philly, and then Dallas again. So the importance of taking care of business, I think, is really emphasized on this year's schedule, more so than maybe some of the previous ones where you saw a little back heaviness in terms of the NFC East opponents.
Also, you know, what I really like this year is I do believe that we're going to see some really good competition. You know, it's not every year that you're so deep and you've got so much talent at a certain position that it is a competition. And so this year, I do believe that we're going to see that. I mean, granted, yes, we're sitting here and we're assuming what everybody's role is going to be in the backfield, but I think Rashad Jennings really needs to step up, and I think he wants to show, listen, I can catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, we're sitting here saying, well, not as good as Shane Vereen. That's why they brought him in, but we don't know. You know, obviously the wide receiver position in regard to, we're hoping Victor Cruz will be 100%, but if he's not, there's an opportunity there for somebody at the wide receiver position. The tight end position, I think, is going to be really exciting to see how this pans out. The offensive line position, I mean, right now it's Marshall Newhouse at that right tackle position. Will he be the starter come regular season game one? We don't know. That's going to be pretty cool to watch and see how that develops. The linebacking, the safeties. So, you know, it's not every year that a team goes into a season and has really this much kind of competition at certain positions. And so, you know, in so much uncertainty. So I think that's going to be intriguing, you know, as opposed to teams that you just know, right? That you just know. So preseason is just kind of like to get tooled up, right? Is to just like, you know, get your feet wet, as opposed to, all right, well, who's going to win this job? That makes preseason really exciting for the media and hopefully for fans as well.
And the opportunities for rookies, too, to solidify some starting jobs. You look at the safety spot with Landon Collins, Devon Kennard, who's not a rookie but still a young guy, has an opportunity to win a linebacker position. Who knows what the mix and matching is going to go on the defensive line. So there are opportunities to be won. As Anita mentioned, nothing has been solidified, and that comes with a new defense and a number of new faces. Let's head back to the lines at 201-939-4513. Zeke is in Virginia Beach. Zeke, what's happening?
What's up, man? How you doing, Anita?
All right.
Man, last time I talked to you, I was on my way to BMT. Now I'm out of BMT. I have no idea what's going on.
Say that again. I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
BMT?
BMT?
Oh, yeah. Air Force Basic Military Training Boot Camp.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so right now, no idea what's going on. So just a couple questions.
Well, Zeke, first of all, we appreciate your service. So that's first of all, and I hope all is well. It is good to hear from you. Like you mentioned, haven't heard from you in quite some time. So what do you have?
Thanks, sir. Oh, God. All right, just tell you a little bit about Eric Flowers. That was like curveball to me. First, you know, Brandon Scherff, I swear, I thought he was a lot. And then he goes to the Redskins. Then Lyle Collins, I thought, all right, he's the next one that has to go come to us. And he goes undrafted to the Cowboys, everybody. I have no idea why Giants passed up on him. I know what happened, unfortunately, but, you know. So just give me a little bit of rundown of Eric Flowers, because I heard he wasn't that great of a left tackle for his past.
Well, I know I can tell you this, because Paul and I had his a gentleman who used to play offensive line at University of Miami and now is part of their broadcast team. His name is Dan, and I'm sorry, his last name escapes me right now. We had him on the show. And, you know, a few things about Eric Flowers. First of all, going into the draft and talking about, you know, what he could bring to the table for teams, is a lot of analysts, a lot of scouts felt like he was the best tackle, not necessarily the all-around best lineman, but the best tackle that was available in the draft. And sure enough, now look at what's happened. Unfortunately, Will Beatty goes down. He's now at that left tackle position. So, you know, kudos to the Giants for drafting the best tackle, now giving that best tackle an opportunity to start at that left tackle position. And he's a really strong guy. So you know, a lot of what we're hearing is, even though he's a rookie and skill-wise, technique-wise, he's obviously not going to be where I'm sure he's, you know, the standard that a lot of the veteran defensive linemen he's going to face are at. But his strength and his athleticism and his mauler type of mentality is going to get him past that. and that's what we're hearing. Okay. So it's I mean, listen, it's not going to be an easy season for him if he starts at the left tackle position. But based on his athleticism, his strength, his size, his mentality, his work ethic, you know, the coaches here and a lot of his coaches that he's worked with and people who know him from University of Miami feel that he's going to do just fine.
All right, so two more things that I'm going to take comments off there. One is Odell Beckham okay, and how are JT Thomas and Kanaan looking as linebackers? Again, I'll just take your comments off there. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, Zeke, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. Well, Beckham was brought up by an earlier caller, and you had mentioned working on the side, if I heard you correctly.
Well, no,
right?
he was being stretched. He was being stretched out by a trainer. That's the last that we had heard.
So we're not going to know more in terms of his full involvement or the lack thereof until Tom Coughlin addresses the media. But as we mentioned, it's a sore hamstring. It's the other hamstring. It is not the same hamstring
It's the right hamstring now. The one that was bothering him last year was the left hamstring.
Exactly. So, I mean, to put things in perspective in terms of the worry meter, I wouldn't say it's a huge alarm. And Tom Coughlin was asked about that. He emphasized, he said, it is not the same hamstring. This is not a re-aggravation of the same injury. It's the other hamstring, as we mentioned. We'll have to see what happens in the next week or so. In terms of JT Thomas and Devon Kennard, how they have looked at the linebacker spots, you know, Kennard looked good last season based on how they utilized him. So the goal is to help him build off of where he left off, and I'm sure Spagnuolo is going to move him around because he's had experience in college as a pass rusher, and he's had experience as a linebacker, and he has that quickness, he has that versatility. So he's an ideal person to put on the outside because he could run with tight ends. He could run with running backs. But I think you're also going to see him as a backup to John Beeson in the middle. And that is one of the places that they envisioned putting him based on Beeson's injury history. JT Thomas got a starting opportunity last year in Jacksonville since Paul Posluszny went down. And Thomas took over in that middle spot. He had that big game against the Giants, if you recall. He's got a great deal of experience on special teams. You know, he's looked at as also an outside linebacker, given his speed and given his versatility. You know, it's hard to evaluate players at this point. Remember, you know, the pads are not on. So when people ask questions about how does a player look, you're talking about you're making sure that they're in the right position, they're active, they're staying healthy, they understand the playbook. And from the outside, everything looks good. But until players put on the pads, that's when the true evaluation starts, and that's when you can start to separate yourself from the pack. That's the key. And Zeke, as I mentioned, appreciate the phone call. The linebacker position is one of those positions, Anita, that you touched on. It's going to be one to watch because I think you have pretty much an open competition. Guys have gotten opportunities thus far in OTAs, but there's a number of guys that are probably going to be in the mix come training camp.
I'd say, as a lock, a sure starter to me is Devon Kennard. And a big reason for that, I think, is his athleticism and what he's able to bring to the program. I think Spags is really, really excited in regard to all the various ways that he's going to be able to utilize him. I want to assume that Beeson is going to start. I do believe that he will. How much playing time is he going to get, though? That's really going to be the big question. Is he going to be in there on third down? That's the big question. And JT Thomas, being brought over, he was told he's being given an opportunity to compete for the starting job, and I do believe he wins it. So that's why I'm assuming Kennard, Beeson, Thomas, McLean coming off the bench, rotating more time in the middle at the middle linebacker position with Beeson and Herzlick being the fifth man.
All right, let's head back to the phone lines here, and we check in now with Patrick in North Carolina. Patrick, what's happening?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First, I just wanted to comment on one of the last callers about Flowers. No guy, no matter who they are, coming out that plays offensive line is a finished product. You know, I don't care if you look at Dallas's pick last year, Martin. I'm sure there's things that he needed to work on. So I'm not really worried. I know Flowers will take his bumps, but the guy has the athleticism and the physicality to play tackle in this league. I think that's why the Giants went after him. We do need an aggressive style as far as linemen being able to run block. I think that he has that in spades. But the thing that I really wanted to touch on is we were ranked pretty poorly last year as far as run defense. And I wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on with Hankins really stepping up last year, with Beeson finally being healthy and seems to recover from the foot issue, and signing guys like LV and Ellis. Where do you guys see our run defense being this year? How much more improved, and how do you figure Spags is more aggressive defensive style compared to Perry Fuels fitting in with all of that?
Well, I think one thing that you hit on, Patrick, is health. You know, that puts the Giants in a much better position than they were at during the course of last season, because you had guys in and out of the lineup and you couldn't rely on your main core, because anytime sometimes a player came back, he got re-injured. So Hankins, you mentioned, is coming off a career year in 2014, and he wasn't just effective in terms of stopping the run. He was effective in getting to the quarterback. So there's no reason to think that he can't build off of that. I think that they've added a number of other pass rushers in the mix that, knowing Spags' history, he's probably going to rotate them. And as long as he rotates them, they stay fresh. If they can get to the quarterback, meaning in the vicinity, you know, that will hopefully open up some lanes for guys to get to the quarterback as well as stop the run. So I think that bodes very well for them. And a more consistent unit at the linebacker spot. Devon Kennard, you know, give him the green light. Let him spread his wings perhaps a little bit more this season compared to last year when he's a rookie. He's got a little more experience under his belt. If Beeson stays healthy, you know, that's that leadership type of player like Antonio Pierce provided for Spags in his first stint as defensive coordinator. And let's not underestimate also having some new safeties in the mix. Now, let's say Cooper Taylor and Landon Collins, or even Nat Burhey, are the starting safeties. The strength that all three of them have is their ability to play up on the box and stop the run. So all three of those things that I mentioned, I think, puts the Giants in a much better position from the start of the season to be more consistent in stopping the run.
Well, I think that Jenkins does a good job of stopping the run, too. I think JPP did a tremendous job at not only being able to put up his sack numbers towards the end of the year, but he got a lot better in terms of stopping the run. I think that we need to step up from a guy like Jay Bromley, who we spent the draft pick on and was said that was one of his strengths coming out of Syracuse.
Well, Bromley, the thing with Bromley is he just had a lot of players in front of him last season. It wasn't that he was incapable of going out there. It was just there, for the sake of the depth chart, they relied on a number of the veterans. As Bromley was learning the defense and becoming a little bit more acclimated, perhaps this season, as he gets more and more comfortable with, remember, now it's a new scheme again that he's learning, that there will be some more opportunity. But I think Hankins is the guy that you're certainly going to lean on heavily. And clearly Jenkins, who you alluded to, is that veteran presence. You have Bromley on the in the mix, and you have a number of other players that are going to have an opportunity to make somewhat of an impact. But don't underestimate, as you mentioned, the defensive ends and their ability to stop the run. JPP, who you brought up, he probably doesn't get enough credit for stopping the run. Everybody talks about, you know, where are the sacks, where are the sacks. JPP's probably one of the best defensive ends in the NFL in terms of stopping the run. And that you have to do first before you worry about wreaking havoc against the quarterback.
There are very few defensive ends I saw last year that were able to get off the block and stop the run like JPP. I think that you're absolutely right. He doesn't get enough credit for his play there. But thank you guys for your time, and I'll continue to listen off air.
Appreciate it, Patrick. Thanks for the phone call.
Really quick, I just got a text message from Paul Dottino. Update in regard to practice. Odell Beckham, a no-go again. Reuben Randall, Corey Washington, and Parker got most of the reps today at the wide receiver position.
So there you go. And those players who you named have also been getting a lot of opportunities as wide receivers. I'd even throw in Dwayne Harris. Dwayne Harris and Preston Parker, you think about all the highlights that have taken place during OTAs, and you can see a lot of them on our team website. They have made the most of their opportunities. And that's what gets back to, you know, your point, Anita, about competition. It's not so much competition about the starters. How about the competition on the back end, specifically at a position like wide receiver, where, you know, guys are trying to fight for that fourth, that fifth, that sixth spot. It is going to be very tough to determine who rounds out that group at wide receiver, because, you know, you're penciling in Cruz, you're penciling in Randall, you're penciling in Beckham. And Harris, you brought in, not just as a wide receiver, as a return guy. The Corey Washingtons of the world, the Preston Parkers of the world, the Marcus Harrises of the world. You know, it's going to be very tough to keep everybody, which means this is the time you make that impact, especially during training camp. So that would be a position battle that I would keep close tabs on as well.
I mean, you're absolutely right, and obviously a lot of that is going to be dictated in regard to not only what they do as a wide receiver in that wide receiving core, but also what they do in special teams.
And that is going to be an area that the Giants are going to look to boost, just like stopping the run, as Patrick, our previous caller, touched on as well. Let's head back to the phone lines, and we check in with Frank in Tampa. Frank, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, folks. How are you?
Doing well, Frank. How's everything with you?
Good, good. You know, to every beautiful day, a little rain must fall, and hence my call. But
there you go. Not beating around the bush. Get right to the point. Here we go.
Well, you know, in talking about, you know, the effect everyone's going to have, and, you know, everyone just blithely, you know, acting as if, you know, we just take Vereen, and suddenly along with him comes his offensive line and his quarterback. You know, when the Giants were at their best in terms of the line, we could never execute a halfway decent screen pass. Once in a while with Tiki Barber, but, you know, that's 8 years ago now. You watch the Pats. They're a well-oiled machine. You watch the blocking. You watch Brady hits him right in stride. You know, Vereen gets to stand exactly where he wants to be, and he gets hit where he can catch the ball and run with it. Now, not only have even last year or the year before, we can't run a screen pass. That's why Wilson never prospered in the offense. But now we've got a rookie left tackle, a throwaway play in right tackle, a center that's never played a down at center, a guard who couldn't clear a lane through a cornfield in Jerry, and Pugh playing out of position. And in 100 days, are you telling me that we're going to be able to utilize Vereen anything like the Pats did? I just don't see it. I mean, I'd be amazed if this thing works and works consistently. You know, and you watch him, you look at his stats. I believe he was last in the NFL in yards after contact. So, you know, he's not a tackle breaker. He needs the ball exactly where he needs it, with his blockers right in front of him to make things happen. But, you know, I don't see that. I don't see it at all. And my second issue is, Anita, I know you've talked up JT Thomas a lot, and I pray the guy is better than he looks as well. But, you know, everything I read and see about this guy, he's like the poster boy for slightly above average in size, speed, his coverage ability, passing, pass rushing, tackling. This comes from film, you know, the analysis experts, coaching evaluations. What is it that you see that nobody else sees that you think this guy is going to come in and be anything, you know, above Jaquan Williams?
Well, first and foremost, the first time I really got a good dose of JT Thomas was the game against the New York Giants. I mean, let's face it. How many people are watching the Jacksonville Jaguars on any given Sunday?
I'm talking about film and advisors and the analysis.
You asked
and
me
experts
the
around the
you
league.
Asked me the question. I'm answering it for you. So
okay,
so
sorry,
so
go
for
ahead.
Me so for me personally that's the first kind of taste I got of JT Thomas, and that game was really, really impressive. Since he's been here, a number of the coaches that I've spoken to, a few of the scouts that I've spoken to who have looked at his game film, feel that his talents will transcend and be really advantageous in this defense that Spags is bringing to the table. So, you know,
well,
and being around him, you know, he's hungry. He's hungry for an opportunity to start. He's hungry for an opportunity to really make a name for himself in the NFL. And as much as fans want to assume that every player is that hungry, let me tell you something. They are not. A lot of them are very content with the money that they've made. They're content because things have come easy to them. They're content because they're already a starter. That's not the vibe.
Okay, but if he was so hungry, Anita, why couldn't he start consistently for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I'm gonna give you one word, and you gotta understand that it does exist in all professional sports, and that's politics. It's politics. Now I don't know,
and I don't know
the specifics. I don't know the details, but I will tell you this: the Giants organization are thrilled that he's here. There are some big expectations for him. He's being given an opportunity to start. He is grabbing the bull by the horns. He is all in. He is invested. And I think you're really going to be pleasantly surprised.
And that's great.
Frank,
I love your enthusiasm. I really do. It's just I can't find anywhere where anyone, you know, that does this for a living echoes that enthusiasm. So I'm hoping to God that you're right, because we definitely need a linebacker over there. And what do you think about what I'm saying about the screen passes? I mean, we haven't thrown a decent screen pass since about 2001.
Well, keep in mind, Frank, last year was year one with Ben McAdoo's system. So, I mean, this system is still
this
evolving.
Line?
Well, the offensive line, I mean, you mentioned 100 days and you're concerned. I mean, let's see how this line comes to fruition. I mean, right now they're still working out the kinks here.
And on top of that, I don't think this line's complete. You know, no disrespect to Marshall Newhouse, but really he was brought in here from Cincinnati to be the fifth or the sixth or seventh man off the bench. You know, so I don't think this line is complete. I just don't think that the starting right tackle.
That's my argument, Anita, because every day that goes by that it's not the line is another day that we can't learn to throw a decent screen pass.
Listen, these guys have been playing football since they were 5 years old.
It's not going to take
100 years for this offensive line and Eli Manning and Shane Vereen to learn how to execute a screen pass. But with that being said, it's still far away. I do believe that there's going to be some more talent that's going to be brought onto this team at the offensive line position. And I don't think we have the starting five on the roster right now. Again, just my opinion. I don't believe we do.
Frank, the other angle that I'll add to this, you know, you mentioned about how Shane Vereen was used with the New England Patriots, and he's a guy that you need to get out in open space because he doesn't break too many tackles. You know, part of what New England did effectively, too, is they got their wide receivers out as additional offensive linemen to block up field. And the Giants receiving core, I think, has the capability of doing that. So, you know, just because New England utilized him on this side of the field, you know, doesn't mean the Giants are going to do the same. And let's not overlook utilizing wide receivers as players up the field to get him that open space that you touched on, which he needs to be more of an effective guy once he catches the football.
Oh, yeah, I know. I just, you know, when I look at a line that has never played a down together, and then I look at, you know, in my mind, I just have this vision so many times of Eli, you know, after he's thrown the ball at a guy's foot because either the guy's in the wrong place or the, you know, the lineman left too soon or whatever it is, and he's like pointing with his finger, like, you know, to where the guy was supposed to be and where the guard should have been. And I mean, you guys got to admit, it has been a disaster. It's almost laughable.
Well, but Frank,
know, to watch.
Here's the big difference between last season and this season, if you want to do that for comparison's sake. This point last season, they pretty much had a feeling who was going to be the starters, and all of a sudden in the preseason, the injuries start to pile. Okay, you know Will Beatty's not coming back relatively soon. So you now have this experimental phase to get those five solidified. And that means by the time you get to training camp, barring injury, and you hope that it doesn't strike again, you know, they're going to be much further along. So I think it is a little different in terms of how you look at the development of the O-line in 2014 versus 15, and you at least need to take that into consideration so that by the time we get to August, what you're talking about with screen passes, you know, that may be something that is a smooth-oiled machine. Right now, of course, not everything can be expected to be smooth because, I mean, how many weeks has this new formation been on the field together? I think priority number one is get the communication working before you're worried about everything else.
No, but this wasn't a one-year problem. I mean, I think it was worse, actually, you know, under Kilbride's offense. I mean, we just have not been able to, and I don't know what it is, something in the water, but, I mean, we have not been able to run a decent screen pass in 7 years since Barber left. And you look at, you know, and that's why, to me, Wilson never prospered. You know, I mean, he could never get the ball with the line and right in the right place in front of him. He caught the ball, you know, he wasn't jumping for it or catching it at his feet and getting swamped underneath or whatever. But, no, I hope I'm wrong. It's just it's really got me concerned because I don't want to pay all that money to a guy, you know, that's a square peg in a round hole. And I'm just hoping that's not the case. And I hope JT Thomas does everything that Anita says, and I love the show and didn't mean to bring it down.
Problem, Frank. We welcome the debate. That's part of this show, and we appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for waiting.
Thank you very much. And listen, it's fair. It's fair to have the concerns. You know, it's something that I've been saying really for a while now. In all the years that I've covered the Giants, they just really haven't had a great linebacking core. And that's why I'm probably more excited this year than I have in years past, because I do have some hefty expectations for JT Thomas. I'm so thrilled about Devon Kennard, and I want to see what he can do his second year. And I'm probably the biggest Beeson fan. If he can stay healthy, I think you could have a nice 1-2 punch with him and Jamel McClain at that middle linebacker position. So I'm probably more optimistic than most. But Giants fans, you have every right and to be concerned. And, you know, again, we're 100 days out. I would just have some faith, be a little bit more optimistic. But it's fair to have concern.
Well, and the other thing to note with respect to the linebacking core, we don't know how often Spag is going to rely on this group. I mean, I think we need to see that before we start to also truly evaluate this group. Maybe he likes to use three safeties more so than utilizing three linebackers. Maybe he's going to throw an additional pass rusher on the line. I mean, right now we're at the premature stage where Spags is still toying with some of the players that he has on the field. Until we get a better feel for his scheme and his expectations, you know, then you could start to say, okay, you need three linebackers in this defense. You need five linebackers in this defense. You need five safeties. You know, that's going to be another added wrinkle to determine what is the emphasis, what is the identity of this D, and that is something that obviously they're still trying to feel out. Certainly appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets over the last hour. Big Blue Kickoff Live with you each and every weekday here at noon Eastern on Giants.com. We will have full coverage of today's OTAs on the website throughout the course of the day. Tom Coughlin addresses the media, player feedback in the locker room, and some features as well. We will be back up and running, as I mentioned, tomorrow.
Are you in tomorrow?
I am not in tomorrow. I'm back on Wednesday.
Okay,
how about you?
So I guess it's Paul and Schmelk.
There you go.
Tomorrow, I want to say I'm back on Thursday with Paul Dottino.
Sounds good. So we got you covered for every which angle. For Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll speak to you tomorrow here on Giants.com. Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Touchdown, Giants!